Good Health is brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Now let's welcome our host, Nick Bejarano.
Hello and welcome to the Good Health Radio Show sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. I am your host, Nick Bejarano. If you have any questions, send us an email to kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. Again, that is kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. I have an exciting show for you today. Joining me in the studio is family practice physician Dr. Derek Earle with Family Health Associates in Hermiston. Today we're going to be talking about how to keep your family healthy and some new initiatives Family Health Associates has been involved in to take care of the kids in Hermiston community. First off, welcome to the show, Dr. Earle.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And Happy New Year.
You too.
So have you set any New Year's resolutions this year?
No, I chose not to this year.
I'm kind of the same way because, you know, for some reason they just never really stick with me. So I didn't set any this year either. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? I know that you've been here in Hermiston for a while, but not everybody that's listening to the show might be familiar with you and what you've been doing here. So how long have you been with Family Health Associates, and what brought you to Hermiston?
So I came here 13 years ago, July, I think, to join what was then Hermiston Medical Center and is now Family Health Associates. I'm here partially because I married a local girl. Beth and I met at college at BYU, and we've been married for 23 years now. And Hermiston was where she wanted to come. For me, it was a matter of I could practice the type of family medicine I wanted to practice.
Well, very cool. So in medical school, I'm sure that you were presented with many different options and things that you could specialize in. What made you choose to become a family doc?
You know, I originally entered medical school thinking I'd either be a pediatrician or I'd focus strictly on sports medicine. And it was actually spending 3 months here as a student in Hermiston where I was working with my now partner, Dr. Flays, where I realized that I was exposed to a lot of things that I enjoyed doing I couldn't do as a pediatrician. At that point in time, they were doing OB, working with adults and with whole families, and I fell in love with the profession at that time.
So kind of as a family practitioner, you get to see the whole gamut,
yes,
and the whole family from infants, babies to geriatric adults. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Something else that I wanted to ask you is the fact that family docs are kind of a hot commodity nowadays and throughout the whole world, really. And you could have pretty much gone anywhere. I know that you mentioned that you came here because you married or you met your wife,
right,
who was a resident here. But so what has made you stay all these years?
You know, staying in Hermiston's been a great place to live. You know, I professionally couldn't ask for a better work situation. I work with very good people. I work with very good doctors. The healthcare system is very supportive. The community is very supportive. And like I said, I get to do family medicine the way that I believe it should be done. I have a number of friends who do family medicine in the city, and that would drive me crazy. They don't do a lot. They see a lot of patients and refer a lot of patients out. Here we have a lot broader ability to see patients. We see more, we do more. We take care of more complicated patients. We spend time in the hospital, and that's very intriguing to me. The other thing is, it's just been a great place to be with the family. I couldn't ask for a better place to raise my family. We've got 7 kids, 4 of our own and 3 adopted children, and I couldn't imagine them being anywhere else.
So kind of what you said basically is that here versus being in a larger urban area, you get to actually form relationships with people and with the community and with your patients, which is something you probably wouldn't have in an urban setting, right?
Not to the extent it is here, right? I mean, you know, and you're right, relationships are a little bit different here than they have been where I've been in the city before. And we get very involved in the lives of our patients because we're a small community. And we see them more than just in the office, and we take care of them more than just in the office.
Wow, that's really something that's unique and very special about small community medicine.
Absolutely.
Okay. So going back to talking about, for a few minutes here, there is a healthcare crisis in America, with many people across the United States suffering from many diseases and conditions that are lifestyle-based. For example, diabetes, obesity, heart disease, affecting 44 million women in the U.S., and cancer, to name a few. As a family doctor, what do you see as being the main cause of these diseases?
Yeah, I think the way that you worded the question actually kind of hits on that when you said their lifestyle. Okay. And, you know, all of them have different causes, and all of them have underlying issues, genetics and other things. But the lifestyle that we maintain sets us up so that we're more likely to have a problem with diabetes or heart disease or cancer, whether it be our diet, whether it be choices to smoke, whether it be our lack of exercise or the time we spend watching TV or on our cell phones or handheld devices. The lifestyle really has set us up to where we can develop all or some of these conditions.
Hmm. So I know I'm kind of speaking in generalities, you know, mentioning all these different diseases and obviously talking about the whole United States here. But are there any of these diseases that you see pretty commonly in your practice?
All right, we actually see pretty much everything in our practice.
Okay.
Diabetes is something that primary care and family medicine takes care of on a daily basis. I would be surprised if there weren't a day where I didn't see 10 diabetic patients and we didn't have 30 or 40 of them come through Family Health Associates. High blood pressure, obesity, these are things that are incredibly common. Unfortunately, we even see cancer patients on a regular basis, because we're usually where the diagnosis starts is when we see them for a problem that leads to the diagnosis. And then we help take care of them through the process of the disease. And so, yeah, these are all very common things for primary care.
Okay. So essentially, you and your colleagues are kind of the first line of defense in many cases, it sounds like. How do you help educate your patients if they are making harmful lifestyle choices, choices that could ultimately lead to one of these diseases or others?
Right. And, you know, that's kind of the hard thing in primary care and in medicine, in that that's what we do all day long, but it relies very heavily on the patient. I'm honest with my patients up front, and I tell them often from day one that my job is their healthcare consultant. I'm along for the ride. I'm with them all along the ride. But my job is to gather information about them, combine that information with the education that I have, and come back to them, let them know what's going on, and make recommendations. Some of them are very open. You mentioned New Year's resolutions. At this time of the year, we actually have a lot of patients who are ready to make changes. The question is, will they stick with those changes over time? Mm-hmm. So we sit, and you've got to be frank most of the time, and you let them know what's going on and what the potential problems could be down the road. You know, your cholesterol's high, your blood pressure's high, you may have a heart attack or a stroke down the road, and how do we avoid that? And then it's up to the patients if they're ready to make the change, and some are and some aren't. Some want to come in and just give them a pill to make them better, and others are willing to listen and do more. And the hope is that they're ready to make and stick with a change.
You know, once somebody goes down that path of a harmful lifestyle, and, you know, they've been doing it for years and years and years, it's probably pretty difficult for them to change. But obviously, you're giving them, you know, advice, and you're sharing your, you know, medical expertise with them on ways that they could potentially change that to better their experience. How receptive are people to that usually?
And again, it varies. I would say the vast majority of patients are receptive. There's probably about 5 to 10% of patients that really are either there because a family member makes them come to see us, or they want to know if there's an easy fix, or they're not really interested in changing, but they feel that they need to come see the doctor. But the vast majority are willing to listen and learn, and, you know, we can educate them, we can send them to resources, we can teach them, and the hope is that they take it seriously and change. And the good days are when you see somebody who took it seriously and come in, and they come in 3 months after you had a conversation with them, and their diabetes is now under control, and they're 10 pounds down. Their cholesterol is going down, they've lost weight, they're healthier. I had a gentleman not that long ago tell me that he'd lost a lot of weight, and he said, people keep coming and asking me what it feels like. And he said, I pointed to a high school kid who was out there, and I turned to the person and asked him the question and said, how would you feel if you had to carry them around all day long and one day they got off your back?
Wow.
Those are the great days. Those are fun days.
Yeah. Well, being that this is the first Good Health Radio show of the new year, what are some tips that you would recommend to listeners on how they could improve their lifestyles to prevent some of the common diseases that America's facing today or that we're facing in our own area?
Right. And I would say there's some very simple things that can be done. You know, the first is to get up and move. You know, whether you go join the gym, whether you follow the 10,000 steps concept where you walk 10,000 steps a day, whether you go walking with a family member, running, swimming, do something. Get up and do something. The more exercise you get and the more physically active you are, the healthier you'll be. The second is choose what you eat appropriately. Eat healthier items, watch your calories, eat less. And then the third thing is stay away from the bad habits like smoking and alcohol in moderation instead of binging or excessively. If you can do those things, you'll become or stay healthy. The final one is if you have kids, get them off the handheld devices and the TV. The American Academy of Pediatrics right now says up to 2 hours a day. And the reason is if they spend more time than that, then they're not active and they're sitting around and not doing a whole lot.
Well, you've heard it here. Dr. Earle just gave us some really great advice on things that we should probably take to heart, especially now that we're in the throngs of New Year's and it's a New Year's resolution time. It's probably the perfect time to make some of those lifestyle changes or incorporate exercise or some of those other things into your life. You're listening to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System on KOHU. With me today is family physician Dr. Derek Earle of Family Health Associates. If you have any questions, please send us an email to kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. Dr. Earle has shared with why he became a family medicine physician in Hermiston. We've also been discussing lifestyle issues that contribute to common diseases facing many Americans today. And Dr. Earle just shared some lifestyle tips that will help keep you happy and healthy into the new year and hopefully beyond. Dr. Earle, what would some of those tips be just again for our listeners who might just be joining us?
All right. So, you know, again, would recommend men to get up and move, do something physically active, to make healthy eating and dietary choices, to avoid tobacco and smoking and some of the bad habits that are out there, and then limit your time on electronics.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Now I want to switch gears a little bit here and talk more about your practice in Family Health Associates. Being a family practice physician, what does that mean exactly? What kinds of patients do you see, and what are the objectives of your practice? Essentially, what should a patient expect from your care?
Okay. So family medicine is the specialty of taking care of the entire family, providing primary care, and we take care of infants from the time they were born to elderly patients until the time that they pass away. And we take care of everybody and everything in between. Our mission is to, as Family Health Associates, is to provide high quality primary care to the people in Hermiston and the surrounding community. And we feel that we do a good job and we're very good at doing that. As far as what to expect as patients and out of our practice, you know, we'd expect that you'd be treated professionally, that your needs would be met. We look at our patients as family. And when I say that, you know, every time I walk in a room, my goal is to treat the patient and their family in that room as if they were family members, or how I would want my family to be treated if they were in a similar situation. And hopefully that's how my patients feel they get treated.
So you add kind of a personal family feel, family touch to every patient that you see.
Yeah, I hope so. I try to. And I'm not sure how you could practice family medicine primary care without that personal touch.
That's awesome. Something else I want to ask you about the practice is, how many providers do you actually have in the office at Family Health Associates, and what kind of providers are they?
Right. So currently, we have three physicians. There's Dr. Doug Flays, who actually has been here for 41 years, I believe.
Wow.
There's myself. I've been here for 13 years. And then there's Dr. Jonas Altman, who's been here for just over 2 years. Recently, his father, Dr. Guy Altman, retired after being with us for over two decades, and Dr. Dave Fisher retired about 2 years ago. We have 15,000 active charts, which means we have 15,000 patients we've seen in the last 2 years through Family Health Associates stores. And to help us with that load, we also have three nurse practitioners and a physician assistant. Charis Elvira has been with us for 5 years as a nurse practitioner. Dawn Heading and Jessica Altman have been with us for 2 years. And then we have John Adair, who joined us in August as a physician assistant. We've also hired another nurse practitioner who will start with us at the end of next month, Maria Fatete, who's married to our local football coach.
Awesome. So as far as what those other practitioners can actually do, can they do the same? Is everybody's scope the same, or can you do something different than the family nurse practitioners can do versus the physician's assistant, or do you kind of all work together as a team? Obviously, I'm sure you do, but what is the scope of what they can do?
Right. So, and you said it right, we do work together as a team, and we do, but at the same time, we have patients that we're each primarily responsible for. A physician assistant, the scope of Mr. Adair is essentially linked to the scope of the physicians that he works with. And so Mr. Adair's scope of practice is mine and Jonas Altman's scope of practice because we're supervising physicians. He will see a little bit less complicated patients, but to be honest, he's very comfortable with complicated patients that have a lot of medical needs, and he does a very good job. He's fairly experienced and has been practicing locally in Oregon for a number of years, and so he's familiar with our community. Nurse practitioners in the state of Oregon are licensed to practice independently, and so they essentially have the scope of practice that they deem appropriate for their license. Their scope of practice is very closely mirrored to that of a family practice physician without doing the hospital work, maybe a little bit less complicated patients at times and a little bit less in the procedures.
Okay. So I just wanted to switch gears a little bit here. And one thing that I want to talk about now is I understand that last year you partnered with the Hermiston School District to open the Family Health Associates Wellness Center. I'm sure starting that program like this, you probably really didn't know what to expect. How is that going for you, and what exactly are you doing with that practice? Obviously, you're probably treating kids. What kind of kids are you treating? Is it all ages? Is it high school?
Right. So this came to be as the school district essentially approached us. Family Health Associates has a number of things we've launched over the years and in the last couple of years to help meet our patients' needs. 2 years ago, we started an after-hours clinic. I've been doing sports medicine for the local schools for almost 13 years now. I certified in concussion care and have a concussion clinic that's part of Family Health Associates. And in our interactions with the school district, they approached me a couple of years ago and said they were interested in putting a primary care practice inside the school with their goal of, by my understanding, giving access to primary care to students, teachers, staff, and their families to lessen absences to keep both kids and their employees in the workplace when able. And we helped give them some suggestions and then participate in the bid process, and they decided to give us the opportunity to serve them. So a year ago yesterday, we actually had our birthday yesterday.
Oh, wow.
We opened a clinic inside the high school, a small three-room clinic. We're open approximately 20 hours a week, so half a day each school day. And the goal is to serve students, staff members, families in the Hermiston School District. And we do see it's essentially a mirror of Family Health Associates with a couple of small adjustments. As far as students, we see a lot of students, we see a lot of teachers, and a lot of other district staff members and their families too.
Wow. So do you think it has made a significant impact or difference as far as what you mentioned is attendance, teachers calling in sick too, and families?
I would hope so. I don't ask the school district for those numbers,
okay,
but I would hope so. From our standpoint, we feel that it's been successful. You're right. You mentioned that we may not have known what we were getting into, and we didn't. We didn't know any clinic like this. There was no model for us to follow, and we went in saying, please don't let us lose too much money. Mm-hmm. We felt it was a good service to provide to the community and to our patients because we have a lot of patients who attend the schools or who work in the district. Last year we had a goal of 6 patients a half day would allow us to not lose too much money, and that's about where we were. This year we felt we needed to break even, and 8 patients a day would allow us to do that, and we average 8.5 to 9 patients a day.
Wow.
So the numbers are there to make it reasonable for us to be there and to provide the service. And yeah, like I said, we do pretty much everything we do at Family Health Associates with some limitations. The school district has asked us not to do reproductive health and not to do mental health, so we don't see those types of patients at the wellness center, even though they're part of primary care and they're things that we would do at Family Health Associates.
Okay, so if somebody does come in looking for those services, you kind of just refer them on to the...
Well, we do one of two things. We either divert them to ourselves if they are our patients or if they don't have a local provider, or we refer them back to their own primary care provider so that they can continue with their care there.
Great. You're listening to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System on KOHU. Today, we're talking about how to keep your family healthy. And with me is Dr. Derek Earle of Family Health Associates. If you have any questions, please send us an email to kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. We've talked about a lot of different things here today, Dr. Earle, but really I want to focus on how to keep your family healthy. I know we've talked about this a little before, but what are lifestyle habits that people can change today that can keep them and their family healthier into the future?
Right. Do something to become physically active, even if it means starting slow and getting there, be physically active. Make healthy dietary choices. Avoid bad habits like smoking and limit your time on electronic devices.
You know, since we're starting the new year, I just want to reemphasize again that this is the perfect time to really start a New Year's resolution or to change your lifestyle. I know talking about it on the radio is the easy part, but actually implementing it and making these changes into your life is the difficult part. Do you have any suggestions on how people can actually, what are some like baby steps, I guess, that people can do, or advice that you give them on how they can start changing their lifestyle?
Yeah, the first thing is decide to start and make a reasonable goal. And like I said, I don't expect someone to go from never being physically active in 20 years to getting ready and run a 5K or a marathon. And so sometimes it's as easy as get up and walk to the mailbox twice a day or start taking a 5-minute walk around the block. I'd also say involve other people. If you have support, you're more likely to make the choices. If you have a family, you can't choose to change your diet on your own. Everybody in the family's got to change it. If you really want to get up and you've made a New Year's goal to join a gym and to lose weight, bring a friend along. Have a support group so that there's encouragement and support along the way.
Awesome. I mean, those are really great tips. I think we have time for just kind of one more question here, Dr. Earle. If somebody wanted to get a hold of Family Health Associates or wanted to see you in the practice, how would they do that?
Right. So the easiest way is to call us at our office. Phone number is 541-567-6434. You can also walk into our office and ask to set up an appointment. We have same-day appointments open. We have a walk-in clinic in the evenings and see walk-in patients through the day. We're located in the hospital, on the hospital campus, just near the pharmacy. You could also, if you're a student or a school district employee or family member, walk into our wellness center, which is located in the high school office.
All right, sounds great. Thank you, Dr. Earle, for joining us on the Good Health Radio Show today. Dr. Earle is a family practice physician with Family Health Associates, an independent family practice clinic in Hermiston, located at 600 Northwest 11th Street in Hermiston. For more information about Family Health Associates, please call 541-567-6434. And one thing I just want to ask you real quick before we go is you mentioned that there's a walk-in clinic in the evening. What are the hours if somebody wanted to know that?
The walk-in clinic's 4 to 6 on Monday through Thursday. And essentially, if you're in the door by 6, then you'll be seen if it's an appropriate thing to be seen in a walk-in clinic.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dr. Earle.
Thank you.